Welcome back to The Whip Around, your weekly look at news and current events, where nothing is safe and nothing is sacred. Be warned, there will be pop culture spoilers, low culture language, and potentially some cultural insensitivities. With your hosts, Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh! And Sean Hayes.
I'm participating in the currency exchange of your attention for my
right,
compliment.
As opposed
to I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Have too much fun with the whip around.
Most days. Some days I don't be funny.
Welcome to Ebonics with Dr. No. Phil LaPorta, otherwise known as The Whip Around. I am your host.
It's a fucker of a start.
Sean Hayes, and I am here, as I may have mentioned, with expert on linguistics.
And physicist.
You're
Dr. Phil LaPorta. Yes.
Really?
It's my second degree.
I thought it was just in jive. With your Ph. Dizzle.
No. I'm actually a doctor. Never mind.
Okay. I won't mind.
Please try not to.
We are
listeners, welcome.
We have missed you.
Hope
it's
you
felt
don't
like
mind
it's
either.
Felt like forever since you've been driving, exercising, walking, talking, wandering while listening to us. Pick which word of that applies to you and rinse
be safe
and
doing it.
Rinse and repeat. And Phil, what's been going on with you, buddy?
School and
God. Damn.
No, just a busy week, just work and housework and family stuff. Nothing major, though. How about you? What's up with you?
I am a big fan of comedy. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I am aware.
Really enjoy the stand-ups, really enjoy the TV shows. And a show that I really like recently was canceled. It was the Michelle Wolf.
That was the Netflix one, right?
Yeah, and her show was canceled, and it was called The Break. But her stand-up album, the first like full-hour special of hers came out. And number one, it's really funny. Check it out. It's called Nice Lady, I believe. And the reason for the title is also hilarious. Within the first track, within like the first 2 minutes, Michelle Wolf immediately made me feel good as a person, Phil.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does she support an opinion of yours through humor?
Let me tell you what it is. Let me play you a small selection of this and let it also be a little free advertising for the album. This is Michelle Wolf on the album Nice Lady, and see if you can figure out why what? I've chosen to play this. Well, Phil,
you're a big fan of skin tags.
I have support in the form of a very popular comedian who is pointing out correctly that the right way to handle this whole nipple gate scenario here and into the beyond is to, how about this? Let's just get rid of the male nipple out there, too.
Quick hot take from you. How do you feel about nipples in art, drawing, painting, stuff like that, opposed to just like pictures of men with their shirts off and nipples all over?
Nipples in art?
Yeah, nipples in art.
I think we talked about this on the show before, in fact, with Ward, director, curator of the Bethlehem House Art Gallery on MainStreetBethlehem.com. Yes, I am. Of course,
okay.
It then goes into like, is that artistic or is that not artistic? Or, you know,
but even you're more okay with that.
Yeah. If
just
it's art, if it's art expressed in good faith. You know, but if it's somebody who's like raises their shirt up in front of the Statue of Liberty and like they're like, my nipples are a statement. That's not what I would be thinking.
I mean,
in fine art. Sure.
Just curious.
In the right context, in pornography, pro nipple. But
It would be amazing if you were like anti-nude pornography.
You can quote me on it. Magic sheet porn only.
Thank you. You beat me to it.
But yeah, so that's what I've been up to.
Well, now that it's just the two of us and I've derailed us already.
Yeah.
You got a thing to do?
I do. Because just listened to Phil do a science segment, we figured we would share the wealth. So we were like, well, let's do a different segment. But Jill's not here for Here's the Thing. And Dave's not here to tell us what made him angry.
But I'm sure he is.
So I've got something for you. It's time for a new segment, however rare it is.
Sean segment. I'm so excited.
Phil.
Yes?
Citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Step forward and peek inside.
Oh, God.
Sean's Cabinet of the Macabre.
That's weird.
The Macabnet.
That's it. There you go.
That's right. It is time to peel back the veneer of propriety and gaze into the weird, wild side of our own mortality. And for this inaugural edition of the Macabnet, what I would like to do is give a salute to a wonderful dead American.
Starting strong.
Who died like a dying American hero.
So this is an American?
Yeah.
Now, is he still alive?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I would like to salute, and we're going to talk about what's most interesting to me is his death. So we're going to talk about heroic death here. Relatively unsung, even though he's famous in his own kind of way. Giles Corey gets the first ever tribute in the Macabnet. Sean's Cabinet of the Macabre.
Is he dead in the Macabnet? Is that where he died?
I wish, man.
It'd be amazing,
here's the deal,
right?
Okay?
You say famous in his own way. I have not heard of this man.
He is a victim.
Oh, dear.
Of the Salem witch trials. The Salem craziness of the puritanical false.
But you said he.
Yes, I did.
I didn't realize. Already I've learned something.
Okay, well, you need to check out your Arthur Miller. See, he's in The Crucible, in the famous play, and they've done how many versions of it. But here's the deal, right? What we all remember about the Salem, which, well, a lot of people call them burnings. Mostly it was hangings. And
that I knew.
But, you know, what do you remember? If I say the Salem witch trials, what comes to mind?
Mass hysteria. In my head, it's mostly women being put on trial for being witches. And if my memory is correct, nobody was burned despite that being a sort of weird image. It's an apocryphal one. I think it was mostly hangings. And I don't think too many were actually convicted and hung.
Hanged. But Giles probably
also
could have been both.
I mean,
yeah, well, here's the thing that doesn't get as much play is that there was this man. He was a guy who was executed in relation to the Salem witch trials.
Okay.
And what the deal is with this guy. And I'm going to go quickly because it's, you know, it's a segment, not a main dive thing here.
Yeah.
But his past, this guy was a rough and tumble guy. He, I guess he worked farms. It's sort of difficult sometimes when you look at the records of who owned the farm, who worked the farm. What we do know is that he beat someone to death.
Oh, shit.
As a younger man because he died in his 80s.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. As a younger man, he beat someone to death for stealing apples.
Wow.
That's American, baby. What's as American as apple pie is beating someone to death for trying to steal apples for apple pie,
That's
baby.
That's right.
So he did that. Apparently, he had been arrested a couple times for disorderly conduct. I think maybe theft is on there.
This guy, listen, if you're going to do that, what the fuck is for me?
Right. So anyway, he apparently mellowed out when he got married to this woman who was, a very upstanding member of the community. Back then, one of the best things you could be is like a full church member.
I mean,
you could be affiliated with the church. You're a full member. It means you're in good standing. You're as Puritan as fuck.
You're major league church.
Right.
Got it.
You know, which is the right kind of community to explode into the witch trials if everyone is so concerned about how pure you are.
Mm-hmm.
But her name was Martha. They got married. He mellowed out. Everyone said so. He became a member of the church and whatever. So, okay. Fast forward. Things get a little intense. The Salem witch trials are going on. And the girls and women who are making these accusations, well, eventually they turn on Martha. Martha Corey, you know, Giles' wife. They have kids, you know, daughters, whatever. They turn on her, accuse her of stuff. And again, she's an old woman and she's married. She doesn't fit. She was proper, prim. She, you know, believed.
No reason
she was,
to.
Yeah. Down she, well, up she, they hanged her. Giles Corey, the whole time, was like, this is bullshit. This is bullshit.
Pretty obvious.
This is some puritanical bullshit right here. That's exactly what he sounded like, in fact.
It's a dead-on impersonation from what I hear.
Thank you. But he was then put on trial, too, because he was like, that's bullshit. So they put Giles Corey on trial, and he won't show up. He's like, I'm not going. So they were like, you better show up. I mean, I'm not going.
To a point. This I mean, is good for him.
I'm not going. So finally, I guess they drag him in, and he won't talk during the trial. Remember, then, this community, people are dying left and right. They're just, like, willy-nilly fucking killing people. And he was like, fuck this. He doesn't say anything. So, illegally, they judge that he is to be executed by pressing. It was not within their purview to do it. That was a European form of execution where you strip someone naked because they always got you naked sooner or
God
later.
God damn it. And now Sean is definitely not down with this.
Wooden
we're going to kill someone,
right.
Clothes on.
At least cover my nips. Wooden board on top of you. Large wooden board covers the whole body.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what I thought it would be.
And started. They would just put heavy stones on the board until you're dead.
Wow.
And it would take days.
Wow.
So that's what they want to do to this guy. Bear in mind, again, it's illegal. So the people in the area were already like, no, this is getting a little fucked up even for me. Martha's dead. She was a really nice person who was very prim, proper, whatever. Now Giles, who used to be bad, but his whole story was the, you know, he's the comeback kid. He's all virtuous and puritanical, whatever now.
Yeah, he killed people for apples. Now he's a happy dude.
Right.
Well, relatively speaking.
We think. Wouldn't say shit.
Before they killed his wife, he was a happy dude.
So board goes on him. The stones come on. They ask him, basically, do you confess, you know, sort of a Braveheart kind of thing. And he only said one thing before his death. He said it several times. Each time they asked him, do you have anything to say? He said two words, Phil.
Wow. That's number one.
What do you think he said? Two words.
No matter what I come up with is not going to be that awesome. Science, damn it.
More weight.
Whoa.
It took 3 days. Motherfucker's like, Groot, more weight. You know, but that's all he said. More weight until they killed him. And that was one of the major issues that had people going, okay, all right, something's wrong here. So, Giles Corey, apple thief killer, turnaround
guy,
feel good, puritanical story.
Right until the end.
Badass motherfucker, more weight. So, for the first Sean's death-obsessed McCabinet of the Cabinet of the Macabre, I'd like to salute American hero Giles Moreweight Corey, who is not fucking around.
That is awesome.
So American hero means one thing to maybe everybody but me. I'll stick with Giles Corey.
I mean, that's a macabre fucking holy shit.
But that's some heavy shit, man.
I mean, you've talked
Pardon
about having your last words.
Right?
You're not going to be as badass
More
as nobody.
Wow,
listener. I'll tell you what. Listen, that was if you're feeling heavy, go and get a drink.
Oh, I get it.
Get a drink. Do what you need to. Use the bathroom. Wash your hands. Come on back. Put your earbuds back in. We'll still be here.
Bullshit.
More weight. Well, Mr. Hayes, since you will not speak, more rocks! Now will you share the Facebook post on the day this comes out? More rocks! We need you to share this post on Facebook. It has a beautiful image on it, and it will help us reach more people. Share this post, Mr. Hayes. It will make your suffering less. More rocks! It is one click. That's all we're asking, to share the Facebook post on your own feed. More rocks!
Space. Toilet!
Hello.
Hello.
We're back at the Whip Around. Wasn't that a fun commercial? I think it was. Before we move on too much further, I want to make sure that
he's
I pointed out.
He's got one little addition.
Yeah, just the reason I brought up that particular edition of Sean's Cabinet of the Macabre was when you citizens are listening to this.
If you listen to the day it comes out.
It is the 326th anniversary of Giles Corey saying, fuck this, I'm out.
More weight.
Yeah, so there's that.
Anyway, back
some appreciation.
And, yeah. So, and by the way, this week we are going to do another show and tell episode.
Which I like because when we say it, it sounds perverse.
Oh, gross.
It's time for some show and tell, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
But we had fun doing it last time.
We think you did too.
Listening to it anyway. I don't know how many actual show and tell events people are at as they listen to our show and tell.
I mean, I'm assuming most of our listeners aren't in kindergarten and not going to show and tell day.
So. I'll take the listens. Please. Please subscribe. Yes. So we will be doing another one of the issues where Phil and I both bring
brought
to the table
something
that we feel is.
And I brought a game this week.
Emblematic of something weird. And Phil's got a game.
So Sean will be going first is what we've just decided instantly on air.
Mentally. We mentally decided it.
That's right. We had to say nothing to each other.
Right.
For 3 minutes.
We just said more weight to each other, and then we figured it out.
Until one of us relented.
Because that's how it goes. Yes, I will go first with my story. We'll get a reaction from Phil, maybe see where his mind goes with it, and then we'll change places metaphorically.
Yeah, I ain't sitting in his chair.
And then, we'll see what happens with this whole game of his, which I have no idea what it is.
So go ahead, buddy. What do you got this week for me? What's weird?
The place.
Oh, dear.
The Oregon Culinary Institute.
I was so hoping you were going to say the Oregon Trail.
The time. Early morning, Saturday, June 2nd, 2018.
I know what I was doing that day.
On the menu. Murder.
Okay.
Daniel Brophy, a well-liked teacher at the Culinary Institute in Oregon, was found bleeding out on the floor of the kitchen.
Okay.
That's a new one. I don't think we've ever had that happen.
So we'll be right back.
Automatically show ends if someone sneezes on air.
The apparent victim of a gunshot. He died that day, and his stricken wife posted a sad message to Facebook. The next day.
What? It found him in the Culinary Institute?
In the kitchen of the Culinary Institute. One
oh,
of their
this
kitchens.
This fucking scrubbing they better do. I'm not eating there.
Yeah, F. Class gets F's all the way around.
Yeah, that is not someplace I want to.
Ironic that murder should enter this now widow's life, as she herself is a writer of mystery romance novels. Or maybe not so ironic.
No.
As it seems pretty clear that Mr. Brophy was murdered by the one person he'd never suspect.
Which you're going to...
Mrs. Brophy. Or maybe he should have suspected her, since she pretty much made clear she hated him, knew how she'd go about murdering someone that she was married to, and wrote as much in blog posts and books.
So this is, you know when they say you should really pay attention to what your spouse is trying to say? And guys are like, oh, women are intractable, I can't figure out anything. No, you know what? That's pretty fucking obvious, dude.
Well, the couple that pays attention together doesn't get fucking murdered by one another, yeah.
Usually.
So yes, Nancy Crampton Brophy stands accused of murdering husband Daniel Brophy via should-have-seen-it-coming gunshot. But here's the weird and frankly the stupid part. 68-year-old Nancy is the author of multiple, and again, romantic suspense, let's call them, novels. Self-published.
Dime store novel,
just
basically.
Just when a self-published is below dime store.
It's like nickel store.
Including one entitled The Wrong Husband.
Bad start.
And recently posted some very telling pieces about hating one's spouse, including a quote-unquote blog post about how best to murder your husband.
Well, now.
Kind of a dead giveaway when you actually write shit like, you know.
red flags much?
Yeah. Near the end of the blog post, she wrote how and, you know, why one might kill one's husband. Quote, it is easier to wish people dead than to actually kill them.
Not what she's demonstrating.
And, quote, the thing I know about murder is that every one of us have it. And that's sick, by the way. Every one of us have it in him/her when pushed far enough. She's finally been taken into custody and charged as of this week. And wow. So, it'll be a fun one to follow and even a better one to write about. File this one under Never Trust a Writer and maybe avoid publishing pre-crime confessions.
3.5 months. This wasn't obvious to anybody earlier.
Well, I think it's kind of, Phil, it's not something where you can go like, she wrote something, get her. I'm sure she's been, you know, she even said, in fact, another part of the story was a neighbor was like, oh my God, I heard what happened. And she was like, yeah. And he was like, you must be so crushed or whatever. And she's like, oh no, I'm a suspect. Like, just like that. Like,
wow.
Straight face was like, I'm a suspect.
No. Why not at that point? You know, it was me. Like, just get.
Well, you got to figure the police must have been like, no, there's no way. No way. Like, the chief of police must have been like, no, that's lazy. You don't, guys, get out there.
Well, I was going to say, this sounds like really lazy writing in a bad crime novel.
Exactly.
That somebody, like, it's like, oh no. How to rob a bank, and then they rob the bank the way they wrote in the book, but somebody can't prove it.
Well, it's the OJ if I did it thing. It's like, don't. Why are you saying this? Why are you saying this?
You're a bad, bad man, OJ.
So, yeah, Mrs. Brophy.
Wow. Okay. So she wrote a blog post. Just sank in.
Yeah.
She wrote a blog post titled How I Would Murder My Husband.
Yeah. And there are also things in it about, like, you know, not any marriage is perfect. You know, all that stuff.
So did she?
And she was like, I know prison jumpsuits aren't my style. Orange isn't my color. Like, tee hee hee.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, no.
Indeed.
What was her motive is my next question. Like,
she fucking hated him.
Well, yeah, but like, was there a reason?
According to her books.
That's what I'm getting at.
She hated him. She hated being married. But again, she would say things like, I have the most wonderful husband in the whole world. And then little hints about just being miserable.
I would love him to death. Like that? Yeah. Okay. That's a hint.
Yeah.
I mean.
What's interesting, too, that we haven't talked about, Phil, is the first thing she did really was post on Facebook.
That her husband's dead?
Like a Facebook post.
Listen, if it's not Facebook official. What about John? What's his name? From John.
Bobbitt?
No.
Status. Dick missing.
The guy from the
Status Dickless.
The guy from.
Do you know my cousin was the one who found.
Get out.
Did I ever tell you that?
No.
We're going back to the cabinet here. My cousin
found John Wayne Bobbitt's dick.
Found the schlonger.
Get out.
Yeah, it was in Virginia. That's where a bunch of my family is.
And he.
They went. What do you think? They just shrugged and went about their business?
I would.
He found it.
You know,
the Hayes family
is
very
connected
sharp
to the macabre.
Very observant and very dark.
I don't think it's possible to miss a dick on the side of the road.
It was dark.
Walking.
It was dark that night, my friends. But the point is this.
I mean, well.
Murder. Telegraphed murder.
I mean,
I'm looking forward to following the case. This is going to be amazing.
How long could it take a jury to deliberate on this? Never mind.
Again, if they're like.
If it's a jury
no,
of her.
No, no way.
If it's a jury of her peers, it's not exactly like you're dealing with Mensa candidates, I guess.
I guess. Unless they like pull people like me in. Like, we're going to need some dark weirdos who write dark, evil shit to get in here. Like, does this sound right to you?
I don't know. This sounds like lazy planning.
Like, I read her blog post. She can't get her subject-verb agreement straight. That bitch did it.
Is that the.
For me, yes. I'll never stay on a jury. Well, let's flip it around. There's only so much time, Phil, but, you know, your reactions have been priceless. Is there any final thought you'd like to give to this one?
Yeah. To anybody out there who is thinking of committing any crime of any ilk, number one, don't Facebook post it. Number two, if you're going to plan it, don't telegraph it. And number three, if you do, fail so spectacularly that we here at the Whip Around will notice it and put you on the show. If you're about to commit a crime, please write us at
thewhiparound@gmail.com. What I would say,
I'm kidding. Don't do that. I don't want to go down as an accomplice.
I would say just keep that stuff unpublished. You know, keep that for the file. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sew that one shut.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Like Emily Dickinson. Right. Let your genius come out after you're dead.
That's fine.
Phil?
So it's my favorite time of year. Or it's one of my favorite times of year. Because one of my favorite...
Nighttime?
No. Because one of my favorite award ceremonies just
happened. My God! I didn't even
Yes, it is!
Phil, I did not. I've been thinking for months during the summer. I was excited.
I
forgot.
It's time!
Is it the Ig Nobel?
It's time for the Ig Nobel Prizes!
My God.
Yes!
I'm so excited right here.
You should see the smile on Sean's face.
I lost track! I've been trying.
Oh, I know.
Yet another year that we weren't involved.
I know. Listen, we're going to work on that. Just if you don't know, the Ig Nobel Prizes, they're awards given every year since 1991 to serious scientific research that, quote, makes you laugh, then makes you think.
Which,
this actually totally fits with the whip around in a lot of ways.
Yes, it absolutely
does. It really
does.
It's designed to...
It Negative World or Real episode where we first a year
ago? I can't remember.
Because this may be the first time people get to hear about it
possible.
On the actual show.
It's possible. So we here at the Whip Around absolutely love this concept. We think it's great because it recognizes serious scientific research that a lot of people wouldn't notice. And it does a good job when you read about it to spur your curiosity, because a lot of times you look at that and you're like, what the hell? Why would anybody think of that? And then if you go deep into it, you're like, oh no, that's a question that I would like to know an answer to. So research of all kinds is accepted, and the award category varies year to year. It's not like the actual Nobels. They change their stuff every year. It goes from bio to peace to medicine, and the awards are given every September at Harvard, and then lectures are given by the award winners at MIT. If you want to know more about it, you can go to www.improbable.com. It's an easy one. And the kicker, I think, is that the awards are given to the recipients by actual Nobel winners. It makes me happy.
See, I get to the meat, Phil.
Okay. So, and I want to give an example to the listeners.
That's what I mean. I'm one of them.
Okay. So, this is a great past example I found. The 2016 Biology Prize goes to a group from Chile in the U.S. for observing that when you attach a weighted stick to the rear end of a chicken, the chicken then walks in a manner similar to that in which dinosaurs are thought to have walked.
My God.
So, somebody's strapping sticks to chickens and seeing how they walk. What do you think about that?
That's how they should. I'm not. Okay. I'm 60% serious. That is how classes should be taught in like elementary school.
Hell yeah.
Because that should, at the very least, that should be part of the curriculum, to be like, look, we're talking about dinosaurs. We're going to like, you know, we're at the farm, whatever. But to go like, look, if we tie this. You know what I'm saying? I should present that stuff to kids because kids are still very openly curious about things.
Yeah.
Adults are like, too often we're shut off. And that's what the Ig Nobel Prize is good for, is to be like, no, hold on. You know,
this is a question.
Check the ridiculousness, laugh, but let's get into that.
Wait, I mean, think about this one. And for the listeners who are still trying to put together why you would do that, there's a lot of fossil footprints of dinosaurs, and they're suspected to be basically, we know now, they're very closely related to birds.
The avians.
So if you kind of weight them differently, like reptiles, and see how they walk, you can study and see if you're right about those assumptions. I mean, it seems silly, but it makes a lot of sense.
It's a lot easier than shoving feathers up a crocodile's ass.
What's safer?
Although now I have an idea.
I mean,
for our Ig Nobel Prize.
Whether or not a crocodile.
Slash party favor at the Whip Around 1 year anniversary party.
A crocodile. Is a crocodile with feathers shoved up its ass an effective duster for kitchen floors?
Well, I was just more thinking, you know, can it survive that kind of shame?
No.
And it's easy to get it done with just feed it the chickens with the sticks. And then everybody wins.
It's chicken on a stick.
But I'm curious.
Of highlights from this year.
I was going to say.
I've got some highlights
for you. I'd have been pissed at you if you were like, they didn't actually announce this year's
no.
yet.
They got this year's. All right. Ready for one? Medicine Prize. Mark Mitchell and David Wartinger for using roller coaster rides to hasten the passage of kidney stones.
Oh, my. What? I don't. Well, I'd have to read it.
I mean.
Just because you're getting whipped around?
Hey, roller coaster renal failure.
Give me more. I want more. Give me another one.
Okay. How about the chemistry prize for this year for measuring the degree to which human saliva is a good cleaning agent for dirty surfaces?
Oh, geez. Every 8-year-old is going to be like, I dispute the science in that, Mom.
I was going to say, every mom is like, see, I told you. Now come here and let me. I know, right? And yet, Now, hold on a minute. Again, how many times does somebody lick something and clean it?
Around here? Well, all the time down here,
Phil. It's spotless in this studio for that reason, right? We spit shine this whole thing. Got him.
Oh, God.
There's only one better way to get
That's
you, right?
That's the new tagline of the whole podcast. Nothing is safe. We spit shine the whole thing.
How about the Medical Education Prize?
Oh, God.
Akira Horiuchi for the medical report, quote, colonoscopy in the sitting position, lessons learned from self-colonoscopy.
Oh, my God. If mirrors could talk, they'd shriek. Can we get one more?
Oh, yeah, this one's good. Ready?
No, and that's how it should be.
Reproductive Medicine Prize. The face. The face. Oh, boy. Okay, this is a big team. USA, Japan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, India. For using postage stamps to test whether the male sexual organ is functioning properly, as described in their study, Nocturnal Penile Tumescence Monitoring with Stamps.
What the hell? Okay, so here's what I'm seeing in my mind's eye here, and my mind's eye is not happy about it.
Oh, dear.
Are they, what? Do you think? Because I'm guessing you didn't read the whole.
I did not read
this
one.
Are you guessing? Now, I'm picturing almost paper mache-like. They have basically mummified a schlonger in, like, postage stamps. You know what I mean? Like, just here's another one, going all the way around so that this tumescence issue, when it's, you know, what's the scientific term? Bonerfied?
Inbonerated.
Inbonerated. When it's bigger, then they check to see,
if
you know.
The stamp has fallen off.
How far the stamps. How,
oh.
I'm assuming they're Elvis stamps.
I was picturing snowflakes. I don't know why.
And there's some psychology for you out there.
Right? Actually, my...
Or did they put one on the tip and they're like...
My thought is that if the penis grows...
What?
If the penis grows...
Schlonger.
Schlonger. Grows in the night, the stamp would basically fall off, right?
On you, maybe.
Tell me I'm wrong.
On you, maybe.
I mean...
Would it?
Right?
Why would it?
Can explain this.
Why would the stamp fall off?
Because think of it, if it's stuck to like top and bottom and then it stretches.
Top and bottom?
Well, no.
He cut his dick off for this, Phil.
Well, let's talk to your cousin about it.
I guess.
If you're.
Who are you going to call?
The Hayes
the
family.
The nearest Hayes.
I love this time of year.
I got a business proposition for you.
If you like stick the top and bottom of the stamp, but then the penis stretches.
If I stick the top and bottom of the stamp.
Right, just imagine attach points at the top and bottom.
I wish everyone could see the hand gestures.
I'm gesturing at the microphone.
Okay, so what am I looking at? The tip? The shaft? What am I?
I was picturing the shaft. I don't know. I didn't write it.
Tell me what you're picturing.
I'm picturing.
What part of the. Show me.
The shaft. Show you on the doll.
Show me on the doll where you put a stamp. If it's a forever stamp, I think you're fine.
Well, you know, then the research is good
yeah.
forever. Oh, man.
Wow.
So generally, you've kind of said what your reaction and what your thoughts are on the Ig Nobel is.
Yes.
I mean, when you hear about research like that, what is that really like? Where does that put you? What does that make you want to do? What is that really like? Where do you go?
It puts me in a place to think about what learning, what teaching, and what discovery really is. Because that is sort of, it's lateral thinking. It's you thinking in problems, around problems. You're
thinking, roller coasters to jostle a kidney stone out.
Yeah, you're thinking about things that are at the same time practical and esoteric. And that's where I think a lot of discovery and breakthrough can happen.
Oh, sure.
Because you're saying, okay, here is a problem or here is a situation or here is a question. And for example, perhaps someone had thought about kidney stones and how there is, can they be dislodged? Is there a process by which they can be dislodged? Is there a behavior or a pattern or movement that affects the passage or the time of passage? All right, well, let's think of something that we
can
could
help.
Literally test to see what it does. What could move you around, jostle you around a lot? All right, a roller coaster. So what they're doing is you take this thing that's sort of absurd on its face or at a glance. But like you said, if you really analyze what it's doing, it's taking a problem, a very literal one, and examining it in a way that's beneficial. And like I mentioned with the kids, I think, you know, there's a whole, look where my mind goes. It goes all over
the place.
I love
it. It's okay.
There's the new curriculum, all this stuff with kids and all that stuff. The next time they rearrange shit and fuck around with how to teach children, I hope that the Ig Nobel Prize, postage schlonger work notwithstanding.
That's for like high school. That's high school.
Right.
That's health class.
Yeah. You earn your way to that baby. But
but
this kind of thinking, this sort of creative problem solving stuff, you know, put your money where your stamps are and teach them how to actually approach problems creatively.
Yeah.
I like that. And then test it,
which is beautiful. I love it.
Again, stamps aside, yes. Go ahead and test it. And don't steal my crocodile ass feathers idea.
Yeah, don't do that.
Or cloaca feathers, I guess.
Cloaca.
I don't fucking think so.
Well, you know what? The difference between cloaca and cloaca is that real or bullshit? It's time for everybody's favorite game.
Look what I gave you.
A lovely segue. So.
Segue. Is French for give me that stamp.
It's getting gross.
Stamp smells like root beer.
What the fuck just happened?
I don't know.
Oh, so in the spirit of the Ig Nobel Prizes, I thought maybe I could make up some shit on my own. We're going to test Sean. You got to get better. I'm way overprepared, by the way, but I am going to see if I can pull 2 out of 3. So you got to get 2 out of 3 right. Okay. If you get 2 out of 3 right, all the power and the glory in this room shall belong to you. So as far as Ig Nobel Prizes are concerned, you have to tell me, is this real or bullshit? Sean, are you ready to play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? Power and glory, I'm in.
Reptile science. Feathers stuck up the cloaca of... I'm kidding. It would be amazing if that was one of them.
I'd say true, because that's my research, motherfucker.
You're damn right.
So this is Ig Nobel Prize.
Ig Nobel Prize. Yeah, you got to tell me if it's real or bullshit.
Real or bullshit, an Ig Nobel Prize. Mm-hmm. Okay.
2006, medicine.
It's just 2006. It's not 2006.
What? Actually, that's math. You don't do math.
I've simplified the problem. It's 2006, not 2000 and year 6.
But there's 2000 years and 6 more.
No.
Anyway.
I'm 30 and 8. Actually, I'm not. I'm 30 and 9. So I don't know what I'm doing. Cut here.
Medicine.
2000 what?
2006. Dick. Francis Fesmire, University of Tennessee College of Medicine. Termination of intractable hiccups with digital rectal massage. Real or bullshit?
Here's the thing. Is there a possibility to answer bullshit but should be real?
No.
All right. Bullshit.
That one is real.
Are you fucking serious?
Absolutely.
Give me the descriptor.
Termination of intractable hiccups with digital rectal massage.
So here's a way to see if we can cure your hiccups.
By sticking a finger up your ass.
By going straight up. The pooper. Shoot.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
It's something else, right?
Okay.
All right. Enjoy that one.
How many of these are there?
I'm giving you 2 out of 3.
Oh,
so.
Shit. You're in
2008, biology.
2008. Mm-hmm.
Biology. Stephen Hauschka, I think, of the University of Washington in Seattle, for his report on the malicious behavior of cats, agitation behaviors of common felines, malicious actions with no apparent causal factor.
Angry cats.
Word.
Can you say it again?
Yes.
It's just pissed cats?
Agitation behaviors of common felines, malicious actions with no apparent causal factor.
False. All right.
I made that
There's
one
There's a
up.
Trick in there, isn't there? Well, what are you trying to get me to say yes to? You're like, all the letters in here
actually,
spell you're a dipshit.
Well, Stephen Hauschka's a kicker in the NFL for Seattle.
Oh, hey.
I think it's Seattle. Anyway.
He kicked the pussy.
I was looking at my cat last night when I wrote that one. I was like,
"Don't explain,
you're a jerk."
Don't explain.
All right, third one. Okay, so now it's all on this one.
All right,
it's all on this one.
All right, want that power and glory
forever and ever
until next week.
2000 dynamics. I'm sorry, 2000.
Phil just invented a new way to measure time. 2000Dynamics.com. Welcome to 2000Dynamics.com, where we make video games no one wants to play.
I picture it perfectly. There's a laser background.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
2,000 dynamics.
I'll try that again.
Do it.
2005, fluid dynamics. See, Victor Benno Meyer of the University of Bremen in Germany and Joseph Gall of a university I'm not even going to try and pronounce in Hungary for using basic principles of physics to calculate the pressure that builds up inside a penguin as detailed in their report, Pressures Produced When Penguins Poo, Calculations on Avian Defecation. Name of the report, Pressures Produced When Penguins Poo, Calculations on Avian Defecation.
And this is it. This is the big one.
It's the big one.
For all the egg marbles. Who is it by again?
Victor Benno Meyer of the University of Bremen and Joseph Gall, Lauren at University in Hungary.
I don't trust you, Phil.
I don't trust me either.
True.
He's a winner, ladies and gentlemen.
I did it! Power and glory forever.
Yes. That one was real. Somebody needed to figure out how much pressure builds up in a penguin when it shits.
I got to tell you how much pressure's been building up in me.
You look like a penguin.
Oh, man.
We could have tested that.
Oh, boy. Do penguins shit little balls, or do they shit like bird shit? But it would make no sense.
I don't think they're pellets. I feel like it's like that streaky bird shitty one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bad evolution.
You want a bonus one real quick?
Yeah, I want a
bonus
one.
Because it's related.
I like how you say bonus.
Bonus.
Really, really perverted.
Yeah. 2003 chemistry.
2003, yeah.
Yukio Hirose of Kanazawa University for his chemical investigation of a bronze statue in the city of Kanazawa that fails to attract pigeons.
And I'm saying whether it's true or false, but my power and glory are not at risk.
No, your power and glory are not at risk.
False.
True.
Who cares?
and again, just to close it out, why would you care? Well, statues get shit on. Maybe there's something special about that statue. Build new stuff out of it. Figure out the chemical composition.
Scarecrows out of it.
Maybe your statue doesn't get shit on.
That's a bummer, though.
I mean,
I thought the key to not having your statue shit on is just covered in nasty-looking spikes like they do with Christ the Redeemer. Did you ever see any images of that when they get awfully close, like the top levels, shoulders, the head?
No.
Because it wouldn't do to have Jesus just covered in bird shit. What, you know, however funny it might seem to some of us. You know, it would be a little bit of a bummer to be
Didn't they do that in an art installation once?
Well, there was Piss Christ, where they sank him. I mean, yes, they've done all kinds of, like, deliberately blasphemous stuff.
Yeah.
The point is this. I thought you just have to make things look spiky and scary, but apparently chemical composition...
Apparently it might have something to do with, keeping birds away. Go figure.
Huh.
So, you know, related to the penguin poo problem.
Yeah, the pressurized penguin poo problem.
It was a peculiar peer-reviewed paper on a... particular penguin poo pressure problem.
People are publishing papers, baby. Well, this has been fun.
This has been a show and tell.
But
right?
I want to go and enjoy some of my newfound power and glory while I go and relieve this penguin pressure I've got. And when we come back, it'll be Act 3, a little bit of song and dance, and some 3 for the road.
Hell yeah.
I don't know.
Get out there and have fun, people.
There
Find something new. Learn something new.
Or not.
I mean, whatever.
Look out!
Well, Mr. Hayes, since you will not speak, more rocks! Now will you share the Facebook post on the day this comes out? More rocks! We need you to share this post on Facebook. It has a beautiful image on it, and it will help us reach more people. Share this post, Mr. Hayes. It will make your suffering less. More rocks. It is one click. It's all we're asking, to share the Facebook post on your own feed. More rocks.
Space. Toilet.
Welcome back. To the whip around, we have one more act to do. It is act 3, but before we get to
just
that most...
Just some little to do here, just a reminder.
Well, before... Hold on. Let me finish my sentence.
No.
You're so excited.
I am.
I love it. Before
it's like
we get
we're in
to...
space.
Before
Got
we
him.
Get... Shut it. Before we get to that most energetic of sequences, we've got just a little bit of a newsy update for you. I think Phil's going first on that.
Just a reminder from the doctor here to tune into.
Oh, your doctor? I hadn't heard.
Yeah. To tune into the other Whip Around Family podcast, Potadelphia, where they talk our favorite anger donut, Dave McDiorio.
Dave McDiorio and all his Irish friends be talking about the latest in rugby and everything else.
What happened?
Oh, Dave McDiorio. And things that kicked up a real Donnybrook this week.
You know, I always call him an anger muffin, but I remember he said I like anger donut, and then I went to go say his last name, and I was still saying muffin.
Hi, tighty tighty. What's going on in the latest of the shillelagh sports?
Grab your camogie. Okay, so listen to Potadelphia. Dave's on it. We love him.
Sure, and Bagara. What a great commercial for Potadelphia.
What I'd like to also throw out there, speaking of Dave, is that Dave and I are going to be doing something very soon. As a matter of fact, it's September 22nd into the 23rd is the Pain in the Ass-a-thon. It's through Geekade, a really cool website, gamer, nerd culture site. They're behind podcasts like Stone Age Gamer,
Waveback,
a lot of old school gaming things. Anyway, the guys at Geekade do this thing called the Pain in the Ass-a-thon, where they get together and play old, frustrating, or impossibly difficult video games and stream it while raising money to go into colon cancer research. So Pain in the Ass-a-thon, and Dave and I are going to be playing Double Dragon 3 for 2 hours for this thing from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on that Saturday. And again, the whole thing
Good
will be going
luck.
From 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. Saturday into Sunday. And it's a worthy cause. Colon cancer is indeed a pain in the ass. It would be great to get some research. We'll be talking whip around stuff, I'm sure, because we'll run out of things to say beyond God damn it.
Moving that way.
Right.
I was going to use Shin or Chin. What was the guy with the claw?
Oh, no. Neither of us have played this thing for 20-some years.
I remember.
There is a guy with a claw. I don't know. The point is this. Check out the Pain in the Ass-a-thon. Thanks to Geekade for having us. It'll be on Twitch, but check out our social media links for how to find this thing. But yes, September 22nd, 23rd, 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. Dave and I will be doing it, however, from 2 to 4 p.m. Double Dragon 3. Jimmy and Bimmy. It's going to be for real.
Word.
So now it is time for Three for the Road, that part of the show where we get to talk about those things that we either didn't have time to talk about during the regular part of the show, didn't fit in with the theme of the show. We each get 3 turns, 30 seconds apiece, to say whatever it is that's burning a hole in our brain. And when that 30 seconds is up, we hear something a little bit like this, but probably a little more resonant, a little more fun, a little more happy. That is Desi the Decibel telling us it's time to shut up, move on to the next person. We will go round and round like that until Phil and I both gone 3 times, and then that's it. That's the show. It'll be off to some lesser enjoyment for all of us until next week. So Phil is going to be going first, thus I will be going second. It's going to be really crazy because only the two of us here. It's going to be like some
kind of... We're still going to fuck up the order.
It's a ping pong game of knowledge. And Phil, are you ready?
I believe so.
Phil, are you set?
I kind of have to pee, but...
Phil, you go!
Oh, God! Chalk one up for students against for-profit colleges. Since the 1990s, a law has been on the books helping students seeking relief from student loans paid to fraudulent, otherwise deceitful colleges. Think DeVry and ITT Tech. In 2014, with the collapse of many of these colleges, the Ed Department of the Obama administration clarified the rules and procedures for seeking forgiveness, and over 165,000 cases have been submitted. However, Education Secretary DeVos, public school detractor, and generally vapid human attempted to stymie these rules. However, a federal judge reversed that, saying that the delay is arbitrary and capricious. Therefore, the rules stay. Get your money back from these scammers.
Are you croaking like a frog?
Maybe.
This froggy croaking. All right. Melting fish. Science. Ain't it gross? A team of marine biologists led by scientists out of Newcastle University announced the discovery of several brand new, very deep sea species of snailfish that can survive at the base of trenches up to 7,500 meters deep. Their secret? Gelatinous, quote-unquote, bodies ideal for surviving the most powerful pressures the ocean can dish out. Alas, when evolution giveth, evolution often maketh you fucking grosseth. Away from the insane pressure, the snailfish is less agile as, quote, without the extreme pressure and cold to support their bodies, they are extremely fragile and melt rapidly when brought to the surface.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Like many people, I watched footage of Hurricane Florence rolling into the Carolinas, and I saw footage from Frying Pan Tower, Coast Guard light tower 32 miles off the coast. You could see the storm front was awesome, and you could see in the shot a flag. Apparently, some people made a joke of it and started calling the flag Kevin, and were writing and tweeting asking if Kevin was going to make it. And of course, as it got tattered, because nothing nowadays is more important than America, a whole bunch of people wrote into the Coast Guard asking people to change the decaying flag in the middle of the fucking hurricane because they said it was disrespectful. People, if the symbol is more important than the people's lives you're asking to risk for it, you fucked your priorities up.
You're croaking. I hear it when you breathe in. It is time to induct the Toy Hall of Fame class of 2018. Ooh. Yes, the National Museum of Play is back for the 20th annual ceremony honoring the best and most influential playthings of all time.
I went in.
And while nominations have always been open to the public, this year introduces Player's Choice, a way for all of us to vote for an inductee.
Cool.
And that voting ends today, Wednesday, everybody. So get out
get
there and vote.
There.
This year's inductees are American Girl Dolls, Chutes and Ladders, The Magic 8-Ball, Fisher-Price Corn Popper, Masters of the Universe, Man. Pinball, sled, tic-tac-toe, tickle me Elmo, Tudor, electric football, Uno, and fucking chalk. So get out there and vote.
Chalk.
I know which one. I hope to Christ this
chalk.
Is even close to getting in. Fuck you, chalk. Get out there and vote. Links in the show notes.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I got to go vote. Okay, closing on something nice and light. People were silly before the internet allowed us to OD on them being silly. Before Google, you could go to or call your local library and ask a librarian nearly anything, and they'd help you find the answer. The New York Public Library kept a strange question file and recently released images of some of the best questions they received over the year. Check it out for a good chuckle or two. Some of my personal favorites include asking for a list of buildings designed to look like fruits or vegetables, and one asking about the colors of the countries. Quote, if Harvard is red and Yale is blue, what colors are the U.S. and France? People were always dumb.
Now we can worry about strawberries. Yes, the authorities
the
in Queensland, Australia are offering the equivalent of more than $70,000 for info leading to the capture and arrest of whomever has been planting needles and pins in Aussie strawberries. Numerous companies have sold the bristling berries, but no clear leads have yet emerged. The health department urges customers in the land down under to cut up strawberries and, one assumes, toss them on the bobby for good measure. Before consuming, I can't wait for this fantastic trend to make its way stateside. So don't eat those strawberries in your trick-or-treat bag this year. Stick to those creepy balls of popcorn.
Wow. Everything in Australia is trying to kill you.
Yeah, even the strawberries.
God damn, man.
I think it's a plot by Big Blueberry.
We're all in the pocket of Big Berry.
How would you say that in Australia? Big Berry.
Big. Our Australian listeners.
In the garbage.
Now, Australian listeners can write in and tell us the proper pronunciation.
Yeah, but just got to make sure, Phil, when we read the emails, to flip them right side up. We will
see you next week
where we'll have some good jokes. This has been a really good time. Thank you,
fun.
Phil.
Thanks, Sean, for having
me
over.
It's been a duo experience. We've rocked. We've rolled. Now it's time for us to get the fuck out of here.
Yep. So until we see you again, dear listeners.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye. It's the
undavest ignobelliest we ever did
done it.
We came up in the bye
get
people.
Out. You don't have to go home, but you can't learn here.
It's spotless in this studio for that reason, right?
Right.
We spit shine this whole thing.